Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Now, last week, we started a new series, as Sandile has said, that is entitled Quiet Time. Amen. Let's turn to the scripture he mentioned, Romans chapter 7, just to bring everybody on track so that we are all on the same page. What do you think? Let's start from verse 14. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, 1-4. Are we all in Romans 7, 14? The Bible says, for we know that the law is spiritual. The law here is referring to the word of God. But I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do allow, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Hallelujah. The Bible says, in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I do not. See, King James, you have to reread to make sense. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. You know, this is the one that I find very troubling. It says, I find another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Then it says in 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He clearly says, who shall deliver me from the body? Body. Someone say body. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your body is very dangerous. Your body is a problem. Your body. The problem is not even your mind. It's your body. Because it says, there's a law that is warring against the law of my mind. In other words, there is something that is fighting my mind. So, in this scripture, imagine who's writing here, the whole Paul. One day, Paul was preaching to a king. And there was this gentleman next to the king who kept on, you know, as Paul was preaching, this particular gentleman was, you know, talking against Paul. And the king said, Paul, you almost convinced me to be born again. But there's this guy who kept on talking, and Paul became angry. And if memory serves me right, he cursed that guy and became blind the same moment. This is the same Paul talking here. One day they had an all-night prayer, and they were praying in a double story or triple story building. And one of the guys was sleepy during the all night prayer. And he fell, and the Bible says he died. While everyone was in panic, Paul said, he's not dead, he's sleeping. But he was actually dead. Paul said, he's sleeping. Paul went to pray for him and went back and continued preaching. The man came back to life. This is the same Paul. Then he says, Paul is saying that there are things that I want to do, and I know that they are good, but I struggle to do them. And the things that I don't want to do, I just find myself doing them. Then he says that I know that the law is spiritual. In other words, he's saying that I know that the word of God is true. I know that the word of God is a powerful book. I know that the word of God is a spiritual book. But even though I have this knowledge, there is something that is resisting me from doing the good that I know is good. And I end up doing the opposite of what is good. And he says, this thing is even stronger than my mind. That's the part that scares me. So, you may be a student. You know studying is good. You know that if I study, I will pass. But your body will tell you, sleep. Your body will tell you, watch TV. Your body will say, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter. Your body will say, television, TikTok. And while you are watching TV, there's a thing that says, ish, I have to study, I have to study, I have to. But you find yourself hour after hour. Then in the last moment, you want to read a text, a full textbook like this. Yeah, Joker, my friend. There's no witchcraft that will help you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. In all areas of life. So your body is fighting against you.
Amen.
Why? Because the Bible says sin lives in your body. Sin doesn't live in your mind. It doesn't live in your spirit. It lives in your body. That's why we have to die and be resurrected and given a new body. It is because God is dealing with that thing called sin that lives in our body. Are we on the same page? And last week I told you how you can overpower the strength of your body. And that in Romans chapter 8 from verse 1, Paul explains that there is therefore now no condemnation against those who are in Christ, who live under the law of the Spirit. So in other words, the only way you can overpower your body is by being spiritual. Someone say spiritual.
Spiritual.
That's the only way. It's not by saying, I will study, I will study, I'm going to switch off everything. Today, I switch off my phone, I switch off. Before you know it, you'll be sleeping. It is by being spiritual, which means by being close to the Holy Spirit. It is only the Holy Spirit that can help you overpower the strength of sin in the flesh. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. Are you listening to me? Yeah. That's why the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. It's dangerous, Paul, to marry someone who doesn't know Jesus. Because the one that can overpower the flesh, they don't know. I once prayed for a woman who was married and had 7 boyfriends on the side. You think I'm joking. You know, sometimes at church, the things I say are unbelievable. So the husband was number 8. It's the husband plus 7 other gentlemen that this person was with. At the same time, not that over years. If you don't marry someone who knows Jesus, you're playing with fire. I knew you won't say amen. I knew you won't say amen. It's okay. I preach to myself. Okay, Pastor, don't go there. Let's. Must I preach? Okay, you said preach. Hallelujah. It's very important. Remember that marriage is a lifelong covenant. Even when you say your vows, you say, until death does what? That's the only thing that must separate us. Death. Now, if you have married someone who doesn't know Jesus, when the sin in the flesh begins to manifest, hey, I fear for you. Because year after year, you live with that person. Year after year. Year after year. Year after year, year after year. Until when? Until death. That's why many people pray for their husbands and wives to die. There are some people who say, this year, it's true, God. All this they are talking about their wife or their husband. Hallelujah. So, for peace of mind, rather be involved with someone who knows Jesus. One day a friend of mine fell for a certain sister in the church. And one day they were in an argument. And this friend of mine said, the Bible says, you know, to try and calm down the situation. The sister said, let's put the Bible aside. Let's put the Bible aside. Let it be me and you, me and you. So make sure that when you get to that stage of your life, choose someone who has subjected their life to the Word of God. So that even though the person believes that they are right, but when they hear the word of God, they say, okay, I give up. I give up. If it is the word of God that says this. What do you think? All right. I say these things, but very few listen to what I say. But may God give you wisdom. Hallelujah. So last week, I began to talk about quiet time, and I gave you 7 effective ways for quiet time. Hallelujah. And I said, begin by praying, read the Bible, meditate on the Word of God. I said, write down everything that you learn or the Lord tells you. And I said, end by praying. Do you remember? Right. So today, I want to teach you about 7 things that happen during your quiet time. 7 things that happen during your quiet time. So, for those who are not around, quiet time is time that you set apart in your day where you just spend time with God. Are you listening to me? Yeah. It is time that you set apart in your day for God. And so during this time, you do the activities I told you last week. You pray, you read your Bible, you meditate or think about what you have been reading, and then you write down whatever you learn during your quiet time, and then you end it by prayer. Hallelujah. So this is what quiet time is. Time that you set apart in your day, your everyday, where you dedicate it specifically to God. During that time, you put your phone aside. During that time, you know, you can't have quiet time and be watching TV. Do you understand? It's a dedicated time. Someone say dedicated. Yeah. In other words, it's just you and God. No other distraction. Are you listening to me? All right. Now, when you're having your quiet time, make sure that you try and pick a practical time for your quiet time. Hallelujah. So, for example, it's not practical to have your quiet time at 1 o'clock during the day. Do you get what I'm saying? There's too many distractions around that time. Are you listening to me? So, the best time normally is the morning, early hours of the morning. Wake up. Tell your neighbor, say, wake up. And do your quiet time. Even though it's winter like this, wake up and do what? Your quiet time. Spend time with God. So the best time is normally in the morning. But for some of you sitting here, the morning may not be practical. I had a friend whose wife used to leave the house at 4:30 in the morning to go to work because she wanted to catch the first train to Johannesburg. Do you understand? So to leave the house at 4:30 means you probably woke up at 3:30 or something like that. So it may not be practical for someone like that to have their quiet time in the morning. So for such a person, may need to have their quiet time in the evening before they sleep. Do you understand? So whatever is practical for you, because you see, quiet time will not be effective or effective unless you do it repeatedly, regularly. If you do it once in a while, you will not see the power of it. Because relationship is developed by spending time with people. So if you see a person once in a while, you will never have a close bond with that person. True or not true? Yeah. There are certain family members that you are not close to, but they are your family. And the reason why you are not close to them is because you hardly see each other. Sometimes you see each other once a year. Sometimes you see each other only when there's a funeral or when there's a wedding. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's no close bond. So a close bond is only developed when, you know, you meet and discuss regularly. So it's the same with God. If you want to see the power of quiet time, if you want to see the effect of quiet time, make sure that you choose a practical time that you can, you know, do your quiet time within that time regularly, over and over, daily. Am I talking to somebody? Even though I say it's not practical to do your quiet time at 1 o'clock, but for you, because of your work or whatever the case may be, 1 o'clock may be the best time for you. If that is the case, let it be. As long as it is a practical time where you can repeat this activity on a daily basis. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So make sure that you choose a practical time. Don't kill yourself. Then when you do your quiet time, you can't say, Sanile, come. And say, come, let's do our quiet time. It's not a group activity. Are you listening to me? It's not a group activity. When you do your quiet time, only you must be present. Pastor, but where I stay, I don't have a place where I can be alone. Fine. Wake up while everyone is sleeping. That even though maybe you sleep in the same room as your brothers or whatever the case may be, You wake up while they are asleep and you spend time with God. Thank you, brother. One particular brother said to me, every time I pray, my neighbor always says I'm making noise. And I said, how do you pray? And he said, Ipata pala polata. I said, no, brother. Obvious. People are going to complain when you wake up in the middle of the night and pray at that volume. I say that God is not deaf. Even if you pray softly, he can hear you. So, just make sure that you are alone. Sometimes people can be sleeping in the same room, but you can still be alone. Do you understand what I'm saying? So withdraw from other people. Be alone during that time that you dedicate to God. Sometimes you are in your room alone, but you are not alone. You know, social media and all these things. Some people are in the room, but they're in China. They are talking to someone in China. Some are in their room, but they are talking to someone in Nigeria. So, be alone. Put your phone down and be alone with God. Tell him, never say, be alone. Hallelujah. And then, I'm just giving you some advice before I get into the seven steps. Then, create an atmosphere for yourself. Someone say, atmosphere. Now, you can never experience God when during your quiet time you are playing, yo, what's up, man? Yeah, look. Yeah, we are joking. You must create an atmosphere for God. God will not come to an atmosphere of, yo. It's not the type of atmosphere that God likes. I'm a piano. One day, another lady said, yo, heaven will be nice. I said, nice. Why? Why do you say that? She said that in heaven we'll be singing, make the circle bigger, make the circle bigger. And then Jesus is going to come and dance. I said, which Jesus do you know, you? No, someone really said this practically. I'm not joking. Someone said it. I said, which Jesus do you know? You don't know the same Jesus that I know. So, create an atmosphere. Find some music that when you listen to, it just makes you feel like lifting up your hands to bless his name, to worship him. That type of music creates an atmosphere. It becomes easier to pray when you have set an atmosphere for yourself. Pastor, but me, I don't look. Phones today are radios. Phones are everything today. And I can bet most of us sitting here, your phone has music. True or not true? So just select a playlist for your quiet time. That this one, I'm dedicating it to God. When I'm praying, when I'm reading my Bible, I just play this music so that I can connect quicker and I can connect faster to God. I listen to me. I'm giving you some advice. I don't want to be the only one close to God. You also must be close to God. It's important for you to be close to God because your prayers are powerful. Prayers are powerful. Prayers are powerful. When you are not close to God, you will not pray. And when you do not pray, you are not building your future. When you do not pray, you are not building a future for your children. When you do not pray, you are not building a future for your marriage. When you do not pray, you are not being protected by God. Anything can happen. So I'm teaching all these things so that you yourself can be close to Jesus. Am I talking to somebody? Amen. What are some nice songs that people can play to create atmosphere? You know, there are some Christian songs that they don't create atmosphere. There's a song that says, "From Fan Samaria, hear me, hear me, a big water, on the drink." No, no, no. Do you feel, when I sang this, did you just feel close to God now? Hey. So, sing a song that makes you feel. You know, sometimes, Pastor, I don't have a phone. I don't have, my phone is a lipopata and it doesn't play music. The only music it plays is do-do-do-do-do-do-do. All right, fine. Then if you can't get anything, then you yourself sing. You yourself. No excuse for anybody. You yourself sing. Ah, Pastor, me, I can't sing. Learn. Learn to sing to God. In your quiet time, you are the only one there. God is not interested in your voice. He says that those who worship me were in spirit and in truth. He didn't say with a nice voice. In spirit and in truth. So you are creating an atmosphere for yourself. Hallelujah. Powerful. Now, for 5 minutes, seven things that happen during your quiet time. Number one, during your quiet time, you develop the most important relationship of your life. During your quiet time, you develop the most important relationship of your life. Hallelujah. Did you get that point? Some people, Mama Surprise, they think that if only I can know the counselor, my things will go well. Some people are like that. If only I can know Kanegiman, Jewel. If only I can know Jewel. Dilotaga ditlobulega so. There are some people who think like that. Some people think that business success only comes through knowing people. Some people think that success in life only happens if I know people. If only I can know the minister, my things are going to open like that. The most important relationship you can have is a relationship with Jesus. And that relationship is only developed during your quiet time. Are you listening to me? Yeah. My hope, that's why I like the song that says, "My hope is built on nothing less but in Jesus' blood and righteousness." It says, "I do not trust in the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name." Because my hope is not built on Ramaphosa. My hope is not built on anybody, but on Jesus. Only Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, only Jesus. That is the most important relationship of your life. It's very, very important. One day, I was sleeping. While I was sleeping, I fell into a dream. And in this dream, I saw one of my church members. And I saw them going through some serious troubles. And then in the same dream, I went and started praying for them. And something that was like a huge demon started fighting me. I listened to me. And I started fighting back. And every time I said the name of Jesus, that thing became smaller and smaller and smaller. To the point that it was like I could step on it. Then I woke up. Then I told Mom Ruth, I said, this is what I just dreamt. And by the end of that week, that same church member came and told us and said, hey, this and this and this was happening in my life. Now, can Ramaphosa help you with such problems? Can never help you. Can Jewel help you with such problems? Can't help you. In fact, to even try and get them on the phone is a problem. So the most important relationship is your relationship with God.
Amen. Amen.
I listen to me.
Amen.
Am I convincing someone?
Amen.
The most important relationship is not your relationship with Johnny Bravo. Say amen, assembly.
Amen.
It's a relationship with God. So only during your quiet time, you are creating a bond with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two, having a quiet time makes you develop the most important personal habit of all time. Having a quiet time makes you develop the most important personal habit of all time. That's the most important habit. You know, they say that it is easy to develop bad habits, but it is very difficult to develop good habits. You understand? So, there are families that, you know, have the good habit of reading. Are you listening to me? Reading is one of the most important habits you can develop for yourself. Are you here?
Amen.
If you don't read, you are killing yourself. If you don't read, there will always be someone above you. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Amen.
But as good as that habit is, there are people who read a lot but don't have a relationship with God. The most important habit that you can develop is the habit of quiet time every day. It's the most important habit. It's more important than reading. It's more important than being up to date with politics. It's more important than what? Than being the best soccer player. It's more important than anything. It's more important than marriage. You know, when I was getting married, I always knew that the destination is not marriage. I hope you are hearing what I'm saying. The destination is not what? So we are not alive to get married. That's not the destination. But marriage is important for the journey. So some people, when they fall in love, it's like they are dead. It's like they go mad. Madness has entered their lives. It's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. Life doesn't end at marriage. It's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. It's part of what? The journey. So the most important habit is the habit of quiet time. Daily. More important than anything. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Amen.
Yeah. Number three. During your quiet time, you draw near to God and He draws near to you. During your quiet time, you draw near to God and He draws near to you. In James chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So that activity only happens during your quiet time. So, Sunday, please stand again. Just stay there. So, He is God. Paulina, let me use a guy. Aaron, please go stand there. You know, sometimes when I use a brother and a sister, people develop ideas. You don't know church people, though. I tell you. Now, who's God between the two of you? Okay. Now, the Bible says, when you take a step close to Him, He will take a step close to you. Do you understand? Now, when you become an academic, you are not drawing near to God. When you get married, you are not drawing near to God. When you find a job, you are not drawing near to God. The only thing that makes you draw near to God is when you spend time with Him. When you pray, He will draw near to you. When you worship, He will draw near. When you read the Bible, the space is becoming smaller and smaller. This is the only activity that helps you to be close to God. I don't care how many times you can say I'm close to God, the reality is that you are not. One day I went to pray for someone who was demon possessed. He was quoting more scriptures than me, the pastor. And he was calling himself Jesus Christ. It took policemen and ambulances to calm him down. They had to inject him with an injection that will make him sleep. So, the only way, I hope you are listening to me. The only way you can be close to God is by this activity of quiet time. If you neglect this activity, I don't care who you are, you can never be close to Him. He will never draw near to you unless you draw near to Him by this activity of dedicating your time to Him. It's the only way. It's the only way. It's the only way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said it's what? The only. You can't take shortcuts when it comes to this. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, brother. Put your hands together for them. Let's take a quick off-ramp here. Let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Verse 7. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Are you there? The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Hallelujah. So you can't fool God. You can't fool God. The only way you can be close to God is by this activity of quiet time. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody today? All right, what number are we on? Number 4. Quiet time makes you read the most important book in the whole world. Quiet time makes you read the most important book in the whole world. Quiet time makes you read the most important book in the whole world. And what is that book? The Bible. Hallelujah. During a quiet time, you can't read Bona magazine. You are joking. Only the Bible. Hello? You know, the past couple of weeks, I've been teaching you about God's prophetic timeline. Tell me any other book that can tell you the future like the Bible tells us the future. Tell me any other book that can transform a life like the Bible. The Bible is the most important book because it contains the Word of God. There's no other book. One brother was here telling us his testimony. And he said he used to drink. And then to the point that in the morning he'll wake up in Johannesburg and he doesn't know how he got to Johannesburg. Now why are you looking at Sandil? Who's told to him? Hallelujah. But today the brother, even when he walks, he looks like a man of God these days. I said, hey! What transformed is the Word. It's the Word. It's the what? It's the most important book. As I'm standing here, I'm educated. My parents took me to school. I'm a trained quantity surveyor by profession. But be that as it may, I know and I understand that the most important book is the Word of God. I'm no fool. Tell you never say, I'm no fool. Hallelujah. So, it's important to do your quiet time so that you can read the most important book. I mean, which other book can tell you about the rapture? Which other book can explain the 7 years that are coming? The Antichrist, his rise and fall. Which other book will tell you that, you know, Jesus came to the world, he died for our sins? Which other book can tell you all these things? Which other book can give you peace like the Word of God? Which other book can give you joy like the Word of God? Which other book can give you hope like the Word of God? So, why don't you spend time with that book? Because you can see it's very powerful. And so the only time you spend time with the most important book is when you do your quiet time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many, many people in life are discouraged. Many people in life, you know, some even feel like giving up. It's because they haven't had an encounter with the Word of God. If only they would have an encounter. The other day, my mother and I were talking to my youngest brother. And he's currently studying psychology. And we were talking to him. And we started talking about depression. It's one of the things they study in this subject. And he said something that I didn't know. He said depression is a chronic disease. Incurable. That's what he was telling us. In my mind, I was saying, that's what secular books say. What does the Word say? My word says, my Bible says, nothing is impossible with God. My Bible says, nothing shall be impossible with God.
Amen.
My Bible says, nothing is too hard for God.
Amen.
So you need to spend time with that book. Because it's the only book that will take you out of your troubles and your trials and give you an eternal future. I mean, put your hands together for the Word of God. I'm grateful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number five. I'm about to finish. A quiet time is your personal school of the Word. Quiet time is your personal school of the Word. Quiet time is your personal school of the Word of God. Amen. Like I said last week, I cannot lay my hands on you and say, receive the Word of God, and you suddenly know the Word of God. It doesn't work like that. So every time you spend time with God through your quiet time, it is your school of the Word. In other words, it's the only time where you get to know the Bible. Are you listening to me? That's it. Besides that, if you don't do that, you will never know the Word of God. You will never know what the Bible says concerning your life. You will never know what the Bible says concerning your future. You will never know what the Bible says concerning anything in life. When I was young, in the year 2000, right? Or let me say in 1999. During that time, people started prophesying that on the year 2000, the world will come to an end. I don't know who remembers something like that. Now, because I was a young boy and I didn't know the Word of God, I became terrified. Whenever I hear loud thunder, I say, oh, it has begun. When an aeroplane would pass where we used to stay, back in then, those days we used to stay in Sunnyside, and when an aeroplane would pass, I would think that it has begun. I used to be terrified. Terrified. But now that I know the Word of God, there could be lightning that can tear the earth in half. I will not be afraid, because what I know is the Bible says Jesus is coming back. That's all I know. Even if it can rain for the whole month, I will not be afraid. Even if I hear that there's tsunamis in Durban, I will not be afraid. Because the Bible says God said he will never destroy the world with water ever again. He made a covenant with Noah. So my knowledge of the Word of God has set me free. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Recently, I read in the Bible, and the Bible says, anyone who leaves anything to follow me, it said that person will get 100-fold. So, if you leave anything that you possess to follow Jesus, remember the young rich man, he said, Lord, what can I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, young man, it is easy. He says, just do the commandments. And the man said, which ones? He said, you will honor your mother and father. Thou shalt not kill. And the guy said, Jesus, I know that I'm having eternal life because I've been doing these things from when I was young. Then Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell everything that you have and come and follow me. When the guy thought about his car, when the guy thought about his house, when the guy thought about his bank account, he said, hey, let me go think about it. And he never came back. Then after that, Jesus said, anyone who leaves anything to follow me will have 100% return. So it's impossible to become poor when you follow Jesus. It is impossible. It's impossible. Your amens are not blessing me. It's only through the Word of God. And you can only know these things when you spend time, you sit down during your quiet time, and you read. And you read. No one can know for you. You must know for yourself. no one can know for you. One day, I preached a series on the Holy Spirit. From the book of Genesis all the way to the New Testament, I was showing people who the Holy Spirit is. Then one day, one of my church members gave me a call and said, "Pastor, who is the Holy Spirit?" I almost fell down. I almost fell down. I said, "But I preached a whole series and it's recorded. You can go collect." And the person is asking me, "Who is the Holy Spirit?" See, the only time you can truly know is when you sit down and read for yourself. My preaching is good, it helps you, but you can never exchange it for sitting down and reading the Word of God for yourself. Amen. That's why I have a problem with Christians, touch the screen Christians. They sit at home, they don't serve God, they don't go to church, they don't do nothing, they're just waiting for a pastor to say, "Touch the screen." I'm still waiting to see any Christian who touched the screen and their life transformed forever. When you meet one, come and let me know. Because there are things that you must do. Are you listening to me? Amen. And Christians, let me not say this before I offend someone. Or let me rather say this. We Christians are very lazy. Don't be offended because I'm counting myself. We Christians are very lazy. God pelo amen asondin. We can do all things, but to sit down and read. Number six. During your quiet time, you increase your personal knowledge of scriptures. During your quiet time, you increase your personal knowledge of the scriptures. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians. I want to show you something quickly there. Ephesians chapter 6. From verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10. Are you there? The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." Hallelujah. Now, these are the weapons that God has given us to fight against the enemy. Verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with" what? Are you here? I'm in verse 14. It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with" what? "With truth." Hallelujah. Amen. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." The breastplate of what? Righteousness. All right. So righteousness, being righteous in the realm of the spirit, is like bulletproof. The truth of God's word is like a belt. Are you listening to me? And verse 15, it says, "And your feet shod with" what? "The preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So faith is a shield. Faith is a shield. So that when the enemy throws his attacks, you can block them with the shield of faith. Are you here, somebody? Amen. Verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is what? The word of God. Hallelujah. So the word of God is a sword. The word of God is a sword. You cannot defeat the devil by anything else but by the word of God. That's why when Satan came to attack Jesus said, "It is written." So in the spirit, Jesus was had yielded his sword and was fighting against the devil. Because that's why in the book of Revelation chapter 19, you see Jesus riding a white horse. And John said, I saw a sword coming out of his mouth. That is the word of God. So we fight through the word of God. We defeat the enemy through the word of God. That's why quiet time is so important, so that you can know scriptures. Scriptures that you can use for every situation of your life. Now note, there are people who, if we lift their shirt here, will find ropes. I didn't see, and fighting with yellow and green and what other color ropes? Red ropes. No, now you're not saying amen anymore. It talked about the breastplate of righteousness. It talked about the belt of truth. It talked about the shield of faith. It talked about being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not with ropes. There are some people who put arm belts here. My brother was telling us that there are people who put arm belts here. And they said that arm belt, when he puts that arm belt, he feels like fighting. I said, hey, me, I don't know those arm belts. I know the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. The other week, I was telling some of you guys, you know, in the world today, they've got this thing of saying, yo, this guy is a goat. And can I, what does a goat mean again? Huh?
Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time. Goat. Then someone will say, I'm a goat. But do you know what your Bible says? Jesus said, I will come and I will separate the sheep and the goat. That's what the Bible says. I will separate the sheep and the goats. The goats are the wicked people. The sheep are those who believe in Christ. And you are saying, I'm a goat. That's why it's important to do your quiet time, so you can have knowledge of scriptures. What number are we on? The last one. During your quiet time, you experience the presence of God. During your quiet time, you experience the presence of God. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3, quickly, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Are we there? The Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. Hallelujah. So in Adam's time, Adam always had an appointment with God, which was his quiet time. So during that appointment, the presence of God will overshadow him. But the scripture that we read is just showing us what had happened after he had fallen in sin. When this presence came like it usually came, this time around, he ran from God's presence. So whenever you spend time with God, sooner or later, you will experience his presence. But I tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't want to lie to you. And I tell you this out of experience. When you do your quiet time for the first time, you will not, most likely you will not experience his presence. But the more you have a quiet time, the more you do it, the more you spend time with him, you will note this glory overshadowing you. You will note this glory filling your room. If you've never experienced that, it means that you are not regular with your quiet time. And some of us, we are like high priests. We experience God's presence once a year. What a shock. So only when you have your personal quiet time and it becomes regular, you will start having encounters with Jesus. You'll start having encounters with Jesus. You will never meet him if you don't spend time with him. He's real. He's a real person. He's got a voice. He can talk to you. He can appear to you. One of the greatest experiences I've ever experienced in my life, I was lying in my bed and the Holy Spirit walked into my room. The Holy Spirit. He walked into my room and he came and sat next to me on my bed. I couldn't see him, but I could tell you he's here. I could tell you he's walking. I can't explain it. You have to experience it for you to know. And he came and sat down. When he sat down, I felt that a person has sat on my bed. And he started talking to me. And I ignored him. I was angry. And I turned my back against him. And he took his hand and he put it on my back. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit. And he put his hand on my back. And I started crying. There was something that I wanted him to do for me that he was not doing. I started crying. And then I turned. And then the Holy Spirit kissed me. Hey! Hey. And then he said to me, I will help you. That's what he said. Then he walked up. Then he stood up. And I saw him walking out the room again. The greatest experience I've ever experienced. Some may be saying, kissed you, how? It's like, you know, when I kiss my daughter, like that type of kiss, I love you. Hallelujah. So you can never ever have an experience with him unless you spend regular, quiet time. Unless you spend regular quiet time. Are you listening to me, somebody? You know when you meet God, when you meet God, you have two reactions. The first reaction, you feel like I'm about to die. When Isaiah saw himself in heaven and he saw the throne of God, he started crying and said, I'm dead because I'm a sinner and I'm looking at a holy God. An angel had to come to him and put a coal in his mouth and said, because this coal has touched your mouth, you will not die. So one of the experiences that you'll experience, you read your Bible. Anytime, even when Moses saw that burning bush and God started speaking to him, the man was terrified. That's why when you read the Bible, most people who have encounters with God, the first thing that God says to them is, fear not. One day a certain church was praying, Lord Jesus, we want to see you. Lord Jesus, we want to see you. They were praying. Then suddenly the roof opened. I'm telling you the honest truth. And they started seeing Jesus coming down. What was their prayer topic? Jesus, we want to see you. When they started seeing him, they looked for the closest table they can hide. They can hide. They were in terror. I listen to me, somebody. The other reaction that you will have when you see Jesus or when you encounter God is what Paul said. Paul said, I count all things but dung that I may know him. You lose an appetite for the world. The only thing that can quench your thirst is Him. It's His presence. But you can never have these encounters unless you have a regular, quiet time. Are you listening to me, somebody? Let's rise to our feet and put your hands together for the Lord. Oh, put your hands together well for Jesus. Amen. Are you going to have your quiet time? Your amens are not blessing me. Yeah. Please don't fool yourselves. Don't fool yourself. You know, many people can lie to you, but don't lie to yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? The only way to draw near to God is by a daily quiet time. There are also those who used to have an awesome relationship with God, but you stop having your quiet time. And you know that that relationship is not how it used to be. So you must go back to the basics. Dedicate time. Read the Bible. Pray, worship Him, love Him. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
I want you to pray for yourself as we close and ask the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Let me get back to the most important habit of all time, which is my quiet time with You. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and talk to your God.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.